Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful that You reign. That You are in control. God, how reassuring it is, Lord, for us who can't see tomorrow, to know that You're already there. And Lord, now as we have sung that You are the Lord, the God Almighty, the One who reigns, God, I pray that You would reign in our hearts and in our lives right now. That Lord, as we open Your word, that You would speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, and lift us up. Lord, that we might take Your word, apply it to our lives, and see Your will prosper on this earth. And we give You all the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In thinking about Mother's Day and where from Scripture we might be able to take our thoughts and to find something for us that honors our mothers, but also speaks to us, this passage kept coming to my mind, and I think it's a beautiful passage for our mothers and the opportunities that mothering provides. Now, thinking about this title, Mothering Opportunities, you can use it in a couple of different ways. The opportunities of mothering, or the verb mothering your opportunities. And it just depends on your perspective and how you look at it and what the opportunity that motherhood provides. You know, when we choose names for our children, you know, some of you maybe went through different processes and trying to come up with your names. And there's different formulas and there's different ways. Or maybe your names are all, you know, from one letter, which it seems like here recently all our families love the names with beginning with K. That seems to be a lot of our kids in our kids ministry right now. But however you might choose to bring out, sometimes we have the opportunities to create namesakes, to pass on family names through naming of our children. And I know that as Nicole and I were deciding on names, the first criteria was that it had to be a good yelling name. You know, it's got to be one of those names that just kind of rolls off the tongue when they're in trouble and you can yell and get their attention. It's got to have the right kind of flow and syllables. But we did want to use the middle names of our kids as an opportunity to honor our families and pass down namesakes and those that have had huge impacts on our lives. And Emerson, and we were deciding on her name, and the middle name we always knew was going to be Jean. Emerson Jean. After Nicole's grandmother, her Nana, who was so instrumental in Nicole's life and interestingly in my life as well, because Nana, Jean Malden, was the pastor's wife that really trained my mother and was such a role model for my mom and the similarities and how my mom tried to minister, mimicked a lot of what Nana did. And it meant something for us to be able to pass this name to Emerson because it meant something. It was a namesake. Then when we found out, we had a fourth surprise coming, and it was a girl, and we were deciding on names. We decided on Charlotte Ruth. I tried to get my grandmother, Mama's first name in there, but Nicole shot it down. She didn't want her to be named Minnie. But my grandmother was Minnie Ruth Elrod. And my grandmother, Mama, was an incredibly strong woman, but incredibly loving you know, as I remember her, and her stature was never domineering. It was always loving. Now, don't get me wrong. You could get mom all riled up, but never towards her grandkids. She was always so loving, so gentle. And even the way she would work through the kitchen, and she would kind of whisper and hum at the same time. It was real wispy, and she would, it just brought back so many different memories thinking about Mama, Charlotte Ruth. And we wanted to pass on that heritage. As we think about these names, as we think about the opportunity of naming our kids and these namesakes and for who they mean and what the meaning comes in our lives, we see that there is a heritage that is passed down from previous generations. It's more than just recipes. It's more than just different little idiosyncrasies. It is their stature. It's who they are. It's their characteristics, their qualities that stands out to us, that we have an opportunity to pass down in these generations. And mothering opportunities is the opportunity to apply a heritage for future generations. It's the opportunity to bring about that nurturing, that loving, that teaching, that guiding, that fighting for, that mothers do, that sacrificing, so that their children may flourish. As we honor mothers today, I want you to see this in this passage about the impact of mothering opportunities on a young pastor, young Timothy, this disciple of Paul. And here in chapter 1, I want you to see this one verse, verse 5. As Paul is opening this letter to Timothy, this is what he writes. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. What a beautiful picture. One verse here that is just loaded with content in the midst of how Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And this is Paul's last book, last letter that he has written. He's going to go on to tell Timothy, listen, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. And here he is imparting his last wisdom, his last teaching to this mentor, this disciple, Timothy. And as he's beginning this letter, as he's thinking about Timothy, what comes into his mind? He is recollecting about Timothy's spiritual heritage. He says, I'm reminded, when I'm thinking of you, I'm reminded of your grandmother Lois. I'm reminded of your mother, Eunice. And as we see this, there is an incredible picture of the mothering opportunities. You see, as Paul is recounting this, he is reminded of these disciples that were made on Paul's first missionary trip. We see this referenced earlier in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, in verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He is split from Barnabas. He has Silas with him. And there they are in Lystra and in Derbe. And they come across this young man who is well spoken of. You can tell that he is a man that's primed for ministry. And here is this disciple named Timothy, who was the son of this Jewish woman who was a believer. And what's interesting is that believer had to come about on Paul's first missionary journey that you can read about in Acts chapter 14. Eunice, Timothy's mother, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, had to become disciples on Paul's first missionary trip. And in Acts chapter 14, you see as Paul was moving through this first missionary trip, there was a lot of persecution that was going on. He was moving from city to city, avoiding getting stoned, avoiding people from kicking him out of the city. And as he came there, he was coming out of that persecution, that threat of stoning. In fact, it was so bad, even in Derby, that he did get stoned. And as he was stoned, they left him because they thought he was dead. And so in the midst of all that persecution and all that effort and all that work, here come these two disciples, these two ladies, Lois and Eunice. Two disciples for Christ. And this is why, even throughout Scripture, throughout the pages of Scripture, motherhood and womanhood is just elevated because of the impact that they have on lives. As you see how much it's ingrained throughout Scripture of how God uses women. And while Paul was in the midst of all this persecution, these two disciples, Lois and Eunice, are raised up, who then go on to raise up Timothy, this disciple that's going to become a young pastor, that's going to make an impact in Ephesus and in different places that Paul would send him to. He sent him to Thessalonica to give a report on the Thessalonians. And it came through the heritage from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. I want you to notice what that heritage that they supplied through this mothering opportunity. The first thing we see is spiritual fidelity. Spiritual fidelity. There in verse 5 it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Sincere faith. The word here for sincere, it means genuine. It means without hypocrisy. In fact, literally the word means without play acting. Without going through motions. They're not fake. This isn't a fake faith. This isn't I say I'm a Christian, but I live a different way faith. It is a genuine, sincere faith. And Timothy gained this spiritual fidelity, this spiritual faithfulness and genuineness, this sincerity through Lois and Eunice. And this wasn't just genuineness. This wasn't just without hypocrisy generally. Notice that it's attached to their faith. Your sincere faith, not just sincere lives, your sincere faith. You see, it wasn't that they were just weren't hypocrites. It was that they weren't Christian hypocrites. Because sometimes it's very easy for us to say, well, you know, at least my kid's not a hypocrite. Well, that can be applied in many different ways. Your kid could not be a hypocrite and still be a little hellion. But at least he's being true to who he is, right? He's not a hypocrite. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is that they had a genuine, without hypocrisy, faith. Because not being a hypocrite only has value when it has eternal value. Because it doesn't matter if you're not a hypocrite, if you don't follow and know Jesus. There was an eternal value that was being placed before them. These mothers produced a spiritual influence and they produced a spiritual responsibility on Timothy. This genuine faith, it was real, it was influential, and it was passed down to Timothy. It reminds us of the wisdom that Proverbs gives us for raising our children. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Maybe we need a little more application of that today. Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. You see the wisdom and the spiritual fidelity that we are able to impart, that we are able to train and to teach and to promote in our children to bring about this spiritual faithfulness. Lois and Eunice produced a spiritual fidelity, a faithfulness in Timothy through their influence and responsibility. There is one thing that I saw from my mother every day. You know, my mom was a high school math teacher. And my mom got there in incredibly early hours. We were always the second people usually in the high school behind the vice principal and maybe a janitor. The place would be dark as we would get to the classroom. And we'd have to leave so early. But without fail, my mom would get me up in the morning. She'd wake me up. She'd go downstairs, make sure my breakfast was ready while I was getting my shower. I'd come downstairs. And as I came down the stairs, I knew my breakfast would be ready and be there. And at the other end of the table would be my mom, sitting in front of an open Bible, sitting there with her quiet time journal, with her coffee mug, and that same paper towel that I don't know how long my mom used that paper towel underneath her coffee mug. But it was a picture of the consistency. And every day as she was there, reading her word, taking notes, and man, she could fill up a journal. And I just remember seeing that picture every day, and that is embedded into my mind of my mom's faithfulness in God's word. Maybe that's the only way she could get through being that teacher. Maybe that's the only way she could get through being my parent. I don't know. But she was faithful and instilled that in her life to me. The second thing we see here is a spiritual heritage. A spiritual heritage. As Paul is saying this in verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. It dwelt first. The word here for dwelling, it means it's been lived in. It's abiding in. This faith was actions from the inside that manifested to the outside. It was faith that dwelt in Lois and Eunice, and it was poured into Timothy. The spiritual heritage, that which is passed down, it had to live in them first, and then it was passed down to them. One definition of a disciple is being that, or being a disciple and bringing up a disciple is to teach them to be what you already are. And this spiritual heritage is passed down. It dwells first in Lois. It dwells first in Eunice, and it's poured into Timothy. This leads to a multiplication of faith. It leads to a reproduction. Listen, the home was meant to be a place of discipleship, a place of passing down. It shouldn't just be the parents say, you know what, I know my kids need to be to church. Let me get them to church and drop them off. No, stay with them at church. Lead them in worship. Lead them through the faith. Lead them and show them that spiritual heritage. It dwelt first in Lois and in Eunice, and it was poured into Timothy. It was reproduced. It was multiplied. And then Timothy could take that and continue to multiply it. In fact, that's what Paul was teaching Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." You see the different generations, the different downline that happens from that. God was using these mothering opportunities to produce his servant. Oh, how you see this incredible picture throughout Scripture. You see Mary, the mother of Jesus, who had an incredible task placed upon her, and yet she served willingly. You see the beautiful prayer of Hannah, barren, asking God for a son, and she would give that son to him, and God answers that prayer and provides Samuel. And after Samuel had reached that certain age, she takes him to the temple, and this beautiful prayer that Hannah offers, praising God for who he is. This spiritual heritage that God uses these mothers in raising these servants of God, that they might be able to continue to produce disciples and servants. It dwelt first in Lois, then to Eunice, then to Timothy, then to faithful men, and then to others also. A spiritual heritage that continues on down the line. You see, mothering opportunities can produce huge spiritual downlines. You say, I didn't get that from my mother, but maybe you could be the one that changes that and begins it in your family. So we see the spiritual fidelity, we see the spiritual heritage, and then thirdly, we see the spiritual foundation. The spiritual foundation. Now flip over in 2 Timothy to chapter 3. Because Paul brings this up again. In chapter 3, as Paul begins, we have seen this passage as it describes the last days and the different characteristics that are going to happen in the last days. And boy, we know, you know, all the different things and the way people are going to be. And we see this list of things like, yeah, we see this, we see this, we see this. But notice how Paul then takes that and applies that to Timothy. Because after he talks about all this, look at verse 10. Here's the contrast, because here are the days. Here's what it's going to be like. Here's what people are going to be doing. Now here's what you need to do. Verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In the midst of all of this and these people that are living this way, they're going to get from bad to worse. You, Timothy, continue in what you've learned, knowing from whom you've learned it. You've learned it from me. And then he says there in verse 15, and from childhood, you've been acquainted with the scriptures. Knowing from Lois and Eunice, a spiritual foundation in the Word of God has come into your life. Continue in that foundation. Timothy's moms taught the value of God's Word, and the home was the base of operations for God's Word. And listen, this is how God designed it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verses 4 through 9, we hear this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." A spiritual foundation that is laid, that is taught in the home. Don't just teach them to be good citizens. Teach them to love the Lord. And allow that to produce good citizens. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Teach our children diligently. Give them a spiritual foundation to last for all eternity. Lois and Eunice gave Timothy this spiritual fidelity, this spiritual heritage, this spiritual foundation. This grandmother and mother team raised a servant for God. You know, the role of a mother is an irreplaceable aspect of God's design to raise future generations. Whether through natural means, through adoption, or even just mentoring and having people in your life, this speaks to the power of the mothering opportunity. Because this morning, when we look at Lois, when we look at Eunice, we see that the mothering opportunity is the expressed power of investing into others. The mothering opportunity is the expressed power of investing into others. Today is a day that we honor those who have invested so much into the life of someone else. They are the selfless ones. They are tired. They are exhausted. They're worn. And they're scarred. They are sacrificial. They are giving. They're imparting. They're serving. And they're loving. Motherhood sometimes is the most thankless job. But mothers sacrificially and selflessly impart and invest into the lives of others. It is this mind that came from Christ. Philippians 2:3-5 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." The mothering opportunity follows that pattern and that mindset of our Lord and Savior. It's the perfect picture of love. Martha Scarborough and her husband George were very particular and very purposeful in the raising of their children. And Martha gave birth to a son by the name of Lee. And during this process, she nearly died. And this was many years ago and without a lot of the medical advances. And she almost lost her life in birth. As they brought Lee home and put him in the cradle next to her bed, she was so weak. She couldn't get out of bed. She couldn't do anything. But yet there, her mother instincts took over. She would even try to rock the cradle of Lee. They had to move the cradle to the middle of the room because she would use her energy that she had to rock his cradle. One day she found herself alone with Lee in the cradle in the middle of the room. It was about 3 weeks after giving birth to Lee. Still weak, still drained, Martha crawled out of bed over to the cradle. And there she got on her knees and she held Lee in one hand. She steadied herself with her other hand. And she began to pray. And she asked God to save her son. And she asked God to use her son, to use him in the ministry. Years later, Lee, who's also known as L.R. Scarborough, would become a preacher. He'd become an evangelist. He would be one of the first faculty of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. In fact, he sat for the first time in the chair of evangelism in the evangelism department. It's a chair they call the chair of fire. He was known to be a powerful evangelist and preacher, and he would go on to be the president of Southwestern eventually. But as he was preaching his first sermon at the First Baptist Church of Abilene, his dad walked in kind of unannounced and sat down kind of close to the front. And as he was preaching, the ladies in front of him, not knowing who was sitting right behind him, leaned over and said, "Well, I think he's really going to surpass his dad already." To which his dad leaned forward and said, "He should. He's standing on our shoulders." The mothering opportunity is the expressed power of investing into others. And today we honor them because they're selfless, they're sacrificial, and they give so much into the life of someone else. Not just for Christian ministry, but for every vocation. As they invest into the life of others. This is that picture of the perfect love of Christ. Will you pray with me this morning? Our Father, as we come to you, God, we are so thankful for our mothers. So thankful for the spiritual heritage. So thankful for that fidelity, for that foundation that they provide. And Lord, I pray that what we have seen, what we have experienced, God, that we would be able to pass down to the next generations, to continue that heritage. God, we thank you that through all of this, it's possible because you loved us and you sent your son to die for us, to give us that picture. And God, I pray that we would have that mind in us. Lord, I pray that you would just bless our mothers today. Give them rest, strength, peace. Give them joy. Through every heartache, through every pain, as they try to honor you, to love you, and to impart that to the next generation. We give you the thanks and we give you the praise. For it's in your name we pray this morning. Amen.